Bowed, Father, Lord, we do come, Lord, knowing that all revelation comes from you, Lord, that all food, all spiritual manna, Lord, comes from that tree of life, Lord, that only you can feed your children, Lord. You are that bread, you are that life, you are that fountain, Lord, that eternal fountain. And Lord, we come tonight that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, forgive us our slackness, our shortcomings, Lord, and just draw us each one to you. Lord, let us have a closer walk every day. Lord, every hour, every moment, Lord. Lord, let us surrender ourselves. Lord, looking, Lord, knowing that the promise is in this day that you would have the full preeminence. And Lord, it's nothing we can do, we know. Lord, it's predestination. And Lord, it's something that you're doing. Lord, day by day, Lord, the word is taking full control and you're having your way. Lord, you're manifesting yourself, your life, your nature, all things. Father, we pray you would bless those that are not here, those that are listening, Lord, those that, Brother Goomba, Lord, that you would bless him, be with him, bless his meetings there, Lord. So we just thank you and praise you. And we commit all things to you now, for we ask the leadership of the Holy Ghost, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you. You can be seated. We do greet you in the name of the Lord tonight. We're happy to be here, and we appreciate Brother Michael and Amanda opening up their home. And we're letting you have a glimpse out here of a future gathering place. And although it looks rough right now, it's a little bit weathered, it's coming. It is coming. And so Brother Michael, we've been talking about it. And so it's coming soon. So you just be praying for that. And we just give God thanks and praise. So now if you want to turn with us, Brother Michael will be sending the quotes out here in just a moment. We're going to start in 1 Corinthians the second chapter, and we're going to read, it's about 16 verses there. And then I want to put all of this chapter in there. But then as you read on, you could read the whole book, but at the end I added four more chapters. I added chapter 1, and then I added through chapter 5, so you can read it at home. And so as you read the second chapter, you watch as he goes into the third chapter. We're reading the second, but as he goes into the third chapter, watch, you'll catch a few scriptures here and there. And in the preceding chapters also, there's some things that will come back and things that he points out that maybe bring to your remembrance or maybe something you hadn't noticed. But when you're on these things, it makes some of these scriptures stand out. Sometimes you're just reading and just casual reading, and you're just getting it. But when you're studying something and you're focusing on something, then it makes scripture stand out. It makes quotes stand out. It makes different things stand out to you. And so that's what we love about the message. And so it is just one great revelation. And that's what Paul is talking about here. And that's what he's been talking about in this message, Christ, the mystery of God revealed. So let us just begin in verse 1 of the second chapter. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Now, Paul had a lot that he could testify to. He had seen the supernatural. He had put people to death. He had held the coat of those that were stoning Stephen, different things. There's a lot of testimonies. And I was talking to somebody just the other day about Brother Perry Green. And I can't think of who it was, but Perry had an amazing memory. And I don't know if it was just that he had such a great memory, or it's just that he had repeated the same stories thousands of times, hundreds and thousands of times, until they were just embedded in him, and there was no way. So, of course, we traveled, and we met him in Tucson and like that. But I met him one time in the Congo, and I stayed in the same hotel, so we got to have breakfast together, and we moved around together, and we were in the meetings together. And so I got to hear a lot of stories. He was just constantly talking about the prophet and talking about the things that he's seen. It was just great testimonies that he gave. And that's what every one of us can have. We can have great testimonies. The people that were in the meetings, they had great testimonies. The things we've seen, we can testify to. Every one of us have that, and we thank God for that. But Paul is making a separation. He's making a separation from just testimony, from just being able to testify of something. He's bringing it into a much higher order and to a much greater thing. And he's saying, I didn't come with excellency of speech or wisdom. Paul had it. If there was anybody who had it, he had it. He could tie people up. I mean, like Brother Branham said about Lee Vail. Lee Vail, he could just tie people up with the scripture and with his knowledge and with his wisdom. He was such a smart man, such a, you know, what we call intellect. He had that ability. He had that that knowledge and all of that. And so, but Paul is saying here, he's not saying he didn't have it. He did have it. But he's saying, I didn't come with it. It's not what I came with. It's not what I used on you. It's not the thing I used to win you. That wasn't it. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. So when he says this, I determined, he's telling us that he made a conscious effort. He made an effort not to use his wisdom, not to use his intellect, not to come with that from that angle whatsoever. But he only wanted to come with one thing, and that was Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you. And this is the man speaking here. Listen to this. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Now, he makes himself sound like just a weak man, don't he? And yet we look at his life and we see a very strong man. We see a very wise man. We see how when they were going to take him and try him in a certain way, how he declared that he was a Roman and the different things. He knew the law. He knew all of it. He was so wise and so intelligent that he was able to maneuver things just with his words. He could sway them with his words, and he did. And he was prepared in every situation. But here he's telling them what was on the inside, what this weak man was. And every one of us know this. Every one of us feel this, especially as a minister. Sometimes people think, oh, man, you don't seem like nothing bothers you. Inside, it's just trembling. And you can imagine what Paul went through. And we don't have the physical side that he had of worrying about being stoned and them having to sneak him out, you know, letting him down in a basket, all of those things. All those things that was happening in that day, every day was a challenge. Every day was a struggle. And so a lot of it we don't have, but we're in that nervous age. That's what Brother Branham said. So we're in a nervous age. And so we're fighting those things all the time. But now watch verse 4, where he changes. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. So now he's bringing this now to God. So verse 3 was the weak man. But verse 4, he's telling us that this wasn't a man speaking. This wasn't a man speaking. But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Amen. See? Now, like I said, Paul could easily do that. But what he was declaring here was that he came in the manifestation. He came in the manifestation of God. Says he came in the demonstration of Spirit and in power. And I think that many times we take lightly our own life. But this is exactly what's in your life. This is exactly what's motivating you. This is what's moving you. And this is what's manifesting in you. It is the Spirit of God, and it is the power. And it's demonstrating. It's demonstrating. It's manifesting. It's God manifesting himself in you. And the people can see it or they don't. Many of them do. But, you know, unless there's a seed there, it's not going to bring them into it, but they recognize. Just like Nicodemus said, no man could do what you do except God be with him. But it didn't make him a believer. And so many people, the same thing. It doesn't make them a believer, but they know that something's going on in your life. They see a change. So let's just read verse 4 again. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith, now he's saying what I'm doing, so that your faith, your revelation, should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So Paul is saying here, your revelation, or as he said, the demonstration or the manifestation of God in you. See? And what did he tell us the new birth was? He said the new birth is Jesus Christ personally revealed to you. And what did Peter say? Peter said, "Not being born again, not of incorruptible seed. Huh? Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed." Amen. That's what Peter said. And so that goes right with what he's saying here. You're not born again by man's wisdom. You're not born again by theology. There's people that are. That's the reason they join the church. That's the reason they give their life to the Catholic Church or to any other idea, because they're born by the wisdom of man. And they're attached to that. And that's what they begin to follow. And so their life's changed. Just like your life's changed. There's many people, their life has changed. And you see them, maybe they quit smoking. Maybe they quit drinking. Maybe they start going to church. Maybe they do a lot of things. But there's still that one thing. What are they following? Yes. What are they following? Right. So have they been born by the word of the age? Because that's the difference. Yeah. They can be born by something else, and many people are. And so that's where it's at. And so those that follow John the Baptist, and those little things, they stand out to us. As we go along and we see the same thing happening. What made them stand out? Because we see it right here. Yeah. How that the John pointed out Jesus, and those two disciples, they walked off and they went and they followed Jesus. And then we find out there was other disciples that he's down there, and their John now is questioning. And so they're coming to relay, and the scripture said they were the disciples of John. They come to Jesus and said, he sent us to ask you, are you the one? Now, when he told them others that he was the one, they left John and they went to Jesus. But these here are still following John. Now, that's exactly what happened in the seventh church age. God sent a prophet, and the people were following that prophet. And they followed faithfully, and they loved him, and they would do anything for him. But when he pointed out Christ, they failed to recognize Christ. That's what he did. He pointed out Christ. And they failed to follow. They failed to walk away from the messenger and go with the message. And so the whole message is full of those things. So we don't want to be born by man's wisdom or man's intellect or any of that thing. Verse 6. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. Now, I know you know what this word perfect is, but I threw it in here anyways, from the Greek, from the lexicon. And when referring to man, means a full age. And so, which it means mature. That's what it means. It means mature. But let's just read what the lexicon says. Brought to its end, finished. So anything, any plant or any person or anything else, when it comes in its infancy, then it goes to its finish. That's its maturity. Amen. That's its fullness right there. Whatever it is, that's its timeline. See? Wanting nothing necessary to completeness. It doesn't need anything else to be complete. It's complete. This perfection that he's talking about doesn't need anything else. Is that exactly what the prophet said? That's exactly what he said. That perfection has come, that completeness has come, that fullness has come. He said it so many different ways. He made it so clear to us, this is it. See, consummate human integrity and virtue of men, full-grown adult, of full age, mature. That's the word. So when you're reading in verse 6, he said, I speak wisdom among them that are perfect. And so what's interesting here is that the people that Paul was speaking to were not mature. They were not of full age. They were not of full understanding. Then that's why I added in those other chapters, because he's going to tell them in the very next chapter, he's going to tell them that they're still carnal, that he's having to feed them milk because he said, you're not able. And he said, you're still not right now able to take it. And then he goes on down, gets down further down in it. And then there's, you know, sin in the church. And one man living with this one man took his father's wife, and they're allowing that. And you know what he said? He said, remember, when you allow that to go on, then you're partakers of it.
That's right.
You're partakers. You leave that. You just let it sit there and fester. He said, the leaven, it takes the whole lump.
That's right.
And so God puts a responsibility
Amen.
On every one of us.
Yes,
he puts a responsibility on. Verse 7. So we speak wisdom of God in a mystery. And now I love this. I love the mysteries. I love this part of the message. And I know that it's more than that. And it's something that I've been really over the last few years has really become something that I've looked at closer and closer. My wife and I have talked about it many times, because Brother Branham said, the Bible said that you could know every mystery.
Yes.
He said you can know every mystery and be lost.
Right.
And so that I've kind of ignored that or sidestepped that, because he has told us that recognizing the word of your day is the revelation, and that the new birth is Jesus Christ personally to you, and he is the word. So it's a really fine line. But he's saying you can know the mysteries and still be lost. So this is greater, and I think that's what this message is about. It's making you realize it's not just having the word, the letter of the word. It's not just having hearing a preacher preach under the anointing and you seeing it and saying amen to it. What he's making clear here is that it's Jesus Christ living.
That's right.
It's not just getting it. It is Christ living in you.
Amen.
And that's the thing that I realize is a really fine line. There's a really fine line there in getting that revelation and that life living in you.
Amen.
And so, but that's what it has to be. It has to come down to that oneness, to that perfection, to that reality, Jesus Christ personally revealed to you.
Amen.
And there's a lot of people that know a lot of mysteries, and you know that. You know there's a lot of people in the message that know a lot of mysteries, and their life is not matching up to what was on display for us. And so it's something we need to really look at close. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, for us, just for us. He put it out there in a mystery. He hid it from the wise and the prudent. He hid it from the world. He hid it from all them. You say, brother, well, you're just going back and forth. You're saying they can know all of it, and then you're saying he hid it from them. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
It's just right. It's just a fine line in it.
Yes,
It's just a real fine line. Which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him.
Amen.
And I always think of this scripture because Brother Holmes, in days gone by, he always hit this scripture really hard. And he always pointed out, and I've used it many times on the mission field, that because the people quoting this scripture right here and stopping and saying, that's it. Nobody knows. Nobody's seen. Nobody's thought of it. Nobody's done that. But what Brother Holmes brought out was verse 10. And he really put emphasis on verse 10. So he's saying here, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. But verse 10 says, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit.
Yes, sir.
How did he do it? By his Spirit. He's going to bring that back around more than once. And that's, we had that in previous service. By his Spirit. That's what it comes by. That's what the Holy Ghost does. It's when when Jesus was manifested I was reading today, and Brother Branham, actually I was listening to a message today, and Brother Branham was saying, he said that Jesus, the Son, the manifestation of the Son, said he did not come to make himself known. Okay? The Son did not come to make the Son known. The Son came to make the Father known. He was manifesting the Father. And that, when we understand the Godhead, we understand that.
Amen.
We understand that that's the reason he said, I can't do anything.
That's right.
Because it's all him. It's just, I'm manifesting him. I'm revealing what he shows me. And so Brother Branham is saying, and Paul is saying the same thing right here in the scripture.
Amen.
That when he comes, see, I'm going to send him to you. I'm going to send the Spirit to you, which is going to be the third manifestation is going to be the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And so when he comes, he's going to teach you all things.
Yes,
so what's he going to teach? He's going to teach the Father.
Amen.
He's going to teach God. He's going to teach that where this is coming from, that it's not a man.
Amen.
It's not a man. And Jesus, being the Son of God, was still a man.
Yes,
he was a man that could die. And I remember many years ago, when I first started going to Kenya, it was probably the first or the second trip. And there was some elder brothers there, one that was really very knowledgeable. And one of the first interactions I had with him, I was preaching there in Theka meetings. As I was coming out the door, he had heard me preach maybe 2-3 messages, and he handed me a pile of quotes on the foolish virgins. And he said, read this. And so, you know, I just come out of the pulpit and I'm like, okay, thank you. So, but anyway, so the next time we were in some meeting somewhere else in Meru, and this brother, he come to me, I was preaching on the Father and the Son. And so they immediately, two gods, immediately that you were preaching two gods. I said, no, I'm not preaching two gods. I was saying Jesus is a man. Jesus was a man. I said, if he wasn't a man, then he couldn't have died. And so he said, but he was God. Brother Brown said he was 100% God. And so we had a little meeting there before we left there, and we had determined we were going to, and I already had my quote. Brother Brown was talking about Jesus the man. They asked him the question about being deity, and Brother Brown, he said he was, and he said he wasn't. He said the God in him was deity. He said, but the man was not deity. The flesh was not deity. It was flesh and blood that could die. And that's what people can't make that separation. And so we had determined that's what our next meeting was we were going to nail that. So I wouldn't give him my quote. I was saving my quote for our next meeting, which never happened. So he didn't come to no more of our meetings. But I wanted so bad to give him that quote because It's rightly dividing.
Amen.
And that's what God sent us, the voice of God for, was to come to receive that revelation.
Amen.
Of those things that he says it this way and that way, and both, it all goes together.
Yes.
It all goes together when God reveals it. When God reveals it, it comes together.
Amen.
And so, Paul said, I speak it in a mystery. I'm speaking it in a mystery. And the only way that you're going to get it is when you have the Spirit of God come into you, and the Spirit of God is what's going to reveal it to you. And no school is going to reveal it to you, and no preacher is going to reveal it to you. No man's going to do it. He said it's hidden from the very elected teachers. The Spirit of God has got to come in and do it. That's it. See, let's read verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the things of God. And he's typing. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man. See? But the Spirit of God.
Amen.
That's what you gotta have. See? Now, we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God,
Amen.
That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God.
Amen.
So, man knows the things of man. Man talks about the things of man. Man reveals the things of man. That's man's wisdom, man's theology, man's intellect, all of that. Man knows those things. But he can't know God unless God reveals himself. Unless the Spirit comes upon that person and reveals. Which things, verse 13, which things also we speak, huh? Not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Huh? To who? The natural man, the carnal man. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man can't get it. It's got to be something more. And we know that it's been identified, it's the soul. Brother Branham told us, it's the soul. And so the Spirit of God comes in and reveals himself to you, and that life that's in there is God's life. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Why would a man be able to judge you? Or why would you fear a man's judgment? Or why would you let a man question your life or what God is doing in your life? Because they don't know. They just got done saying the spirit of man, the carnal man knows the things of man.
That's right.
That's all he knows. And so when you are born by the word of this day, then no man has a right to judge you in anything.
Amen.
No, do they? Yes, they do. Will they? They will. They'll do that. But that should roll right off of you, like Brother Branham said, like water off a duck's back. You, because you have the Spirit of God.
Amen.
And you know the Word of God has been revealed to you.
Yes.
So you're not basing your life or your actions or anything else on what a carnal man is telling you.
Right.
You are walking in the Spirit, by the Spirit, God revealing to you the revelation of himself.
Amazing.
And so, yet he himself is judged of no man. He that is spiritual judgeth all things. Is that right?
Amen.
You know that you'll judge the angels?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? The angels. You will. You'll judge them. The devil and his angels.
Amen.
That's the scripture. You'll judge the world. And the judgment starts right here. It starts right here. It starts with the Word of God. It starts with the Spirit of God in you judging right and wrong.
Amen.
And you're growing in that. You're coming to that perfection with Him, being one with Him. So, yet He Himself is judge of no man, for who hath known the mind of the Lord? Huh? What man out there that's going to judge you knows the mind of God?
Amen.
Unless he's born again. He don't know the mind of the Lord. He only knows God by carnal conception, by intellectual conception.
Amen.
For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So there it is, right there.
Amen.
That's what sets you apart. That's why nobody can judge you.
Right.
That's why in these following chapters that Paul also, after he gets done with the guy living with his father's wife, he goes on to them that were taking one another before the law. And he told him, how can you do that? And first of all, before he rebuked him for doing that, he told him, he said, why don't you just be defrauded? Huh? Why do you got to run to the law? Why do you got to do this? Why don't you, when somebody does you wrong, why don't you just hold your head up and pray for them and let them go? Is that what he said? Why defraud you one another? But then he went on and said, and explains and says, you're going to take them before the law, unbelievers? You're going to go for judgment of unbelievers? When you have the children of God, if you need to have court, you need to just come right here. You need to come right here where the children of God are, the ones that will judge the world, not a corrupt judge, but the righteous judge. That's where the matter can be settled. That's where it can be settled. So now I have some, I had a few quotes here from last time, and I want to just kind of to bring them back to your memory. But I'm gonna bypass them because I want to get a little bit further down here. So, but in 304, and we did read this. He said, "By lack of this revelation, is why we have so many divisions among us." And so, dropping down. Now, Brother Branham is now here. This is 305. This is where we would begin. And he didn't have all of these scriptures in here, and that's the reason why I added them at the top. So let's just read a little bit. He's going to make a couple comments that I want you to get here, and then we'll move on. Paul, after his great revelation of Christ, said in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, "I never come to you with wisdom." Look at that man who did have the wisdom. Look at that man who had the scholarship. "I never come to you with them kinds of words," see? Listen to this great apostle here, Paul, the intellectual servant of God. Let's look here. "Paul, when I come to you, come not with excellency of speech and of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God." I never said I'm Dr. So-and-so. I never said, you know, I'm the greatest one. No. "For I'm determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of power, of the spirit and power." See? There. See? There is the gospel, see? Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel." Now, this is a fine line right here, and I'm going to point it out in just 1 minute. See? Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel." He didn't say, "Go teach." Is that right? He didn't say, "Go teach it."
Amen.
He said, "Go preach." In other words, demonstrate. Demonstrate the power, and these signs shall follow them. Just teaching doesn't do it. But what is it that we have that sets us aside from the rest? We have the teacher.
Yes.
We have the teacher. The teacher is living in us. He's living in us. And he is teaching us. And so, but he's saying here, it's got to be a manifestation.
Yes,
it's got to be a demonstration. Your life is on display every day. In everything you say, everything you do, and even everything that you think. That's what he said. He said, just remember now. He said, when you look out there and you see her, then that's adultery right there. And so it's not just now that just your action. It's actually the thought. It's actually now come down so close now it's to the thought. And so why? Because it's the reality. It's because it's Christ.
Amen.
It's Christ in us. And so that it has to demonstrate in power. And I know a lot of times we're thinking that this power is just healing the sick and raising the dead, and that's not it. That power, Brother Branham said in It's the Rising of the Sun, he said, you have dominion over sin.
That's right.
You have dominion over it. You have power over it. You have control over it. You have over this earth. You have power over it by the word, by the revelation, by the Spirit of God that's in you to bring this into subjection.
Amen.
It's more than just going out there and praying for somebody and getting healed. So whether they do or they not, the thing that's happening every day is your life manifesting Christ. Every day it's happening.
Yeah.
See? Just teaching doesn't do it. It takes the actual Spirit itself demonstrating these signs. Remember we read the other night, he said, if you say I have it, and your life doesn't line up, doesn't manifest the same thing that he did, he said, then you got the wrong revelation.
That's right.
See? That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. See? Oh my. To change the man. Is he saying it right there? That's what he's saying. To change the man. You have power. Christ has power. Christ come in you, and he's demonstrating that power by turning your life around, by manifesting the Spirit, by manifesting his nature, by manifesting the tree of life in you. It's there. Eternal life in you. See, not in what I can explain away. Say he's not the same when he is the same. See, if I do that, it shows. See, surely a man that would tell me that would show to me he don't have the revelation. The threefold revelation of God. See, that's right. Howbeit in weakness among you that are perfect. Yet not the wisdom of this world, but of the princes of this world, see, that come to naught. And I got sidetracked the other day on this princes. And he's 6 and 6. Let's just read. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, see? The threefold mystery of God, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. See, none of the priest, huh? You getting it? None of the rabbis, huh? That's the princes. That's the princes of this world.
Amen.
What did Brother Branham say about it? He said, they're worshiping the devil. They don't even know it.
That's right.
They're worshiping Satan. They don't even know it.
Amen.
That's your leaders. That's your rulers. You say, well, what about the policy? That's all the devil too. But where is the control at? Where's the control at? It's in the church. It's right in the church. That's what's changing the people.
Amen.
That's what's taking them off to make them Catholics and taking them off and making them Baptists and making them Pentecost, whatever it's making them, whatever the theology is, they're born by that. And they go off and they're dyed in the wool Catholics. And they're dyed in the wool Pentecostal, and they're dyed in the wool something else. See? And they make every claim to God. They make every claim to Christianity. They make every claim that you make. There's just one problem.
Amen.
They haven't met him.
That's right.
They haven't met him. It's sad. See, which none of the princes of this world knew, none of the priests, none of the rabbis, see, or anything, knew anything about it. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. You say you're wrong about the rabbis and preachers there. Three-letter response sums it all up. Who crucified him? Who crucified him? I tell you, that's a powerful, powerful statement. That's where people... I've seen people set free from this very thing right here. I remember a young man in India many years ago, and his father pretended like he was in the message, but really he was tied in with denominations. And he had books, and so many of the true believers couldn't get the books back in those days. They were so hard to get. This brother, they delivered them in big like rice sacks, you know, like potato sacks, and there could just be hundreds and hundreds in one, and they'd stand about this tall, because everything there was, they overloaded it. And so anyways, he had stacks of these books unopened, He didn't open them. Just he got them, and there they are. And so he didn't give them out to the people. He didn't. And so I was preaching one day, and so his brother, this young man, he disagreed with his father, and he disagreed with his religion, and so they had many issues. And when he seen that the denominations was man-made, when he seen that the denominations was inspired of Satan, it just lit him up. It was like he just had a jubilee, and he couldn't figure it out. He couldn't figure it out why. And honestly, that's one of the things to me that really enlightened me when I first come in the message, is because we're judging everything. We were judging the Bible by the churches. Okay, this is God's word, and this is the manifestation of God's word. And we came to find out that none of that was the manifestation of God's word, except the what Isaiah said, that they'd have ears and couldn't hear, and eyes and they couldn't see. But as far as the reality, we found out that that wasn't it. That wasn't even close to it. That was completely a deception that it came upon them. And that they were the ones who crucified. I still remember when we were just young, in the message. And when I seen that, it lit me up. I mean, it made me look at everything totally different, totally different. And when I seen the life of the prophet, I seen the Bible. That's when I seen the Bible. That's the thing that turned me around. I said, now here's the very thing that is in that Bible. And every one of these churches that I've seen, every one of them that I had been to, or the people that went to them, I said, I knew Church of Christ people that, and I knew it because they're children. You know, we go to school together, and so we talk about what our parents did and didn't do and all that stuff. And so this girl, her parents, they were Church of Christ, and I didn't know there was any churches that didn't believe in instruments, organs or anything, but they don't. And so they went there, and they were faithful. They went every Sunday. Da, 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 da. But on Saturday night, they left town so they could go juking. They could go to a bar, but they couldn't go to a bar local because then somebody might see them. So they would leave town and go to some bar somewhere else. And they would drink and have a big time. And I thought, that was the difference. I was doing the same thing as them, but I wasn't hiding it from anybody. I didn't think there was anything wrong with it. They didn't think there was anything wrong with it, except they know there was something wrong with it.
Right.
Oh, on and on and on we could go. read it, see, and save time, because you just, let's see. Lack of this now. And Paul, this great intellectual man. See, never tried to express his great theological terms upon the people. He humbly accepted the word of the Lord. He laid down his idea, and he humbly accepted God's way. And he lived the word so that it expressed through him. He lived so godly until they seen Jesus Christ in him. So much, till they wanted his handkerchiefs to take it and lay it on the sick. See, there is the life of Christ. Now watch, some say, oh, well, you see, Elijah done that a long time ago, laid his stick, say, on the boy. See, that was the days of Elijah. Now, the world thought that, the intellectual priests and things and churches of that, see, thought that. See, but to them believers, they know different, huh? They know different. They seen the revelation of Christ that was in Elijah. Are you listening? You putting that back to the scripture? See, same thing was in Paul, expressing the same kind of life because he was a prophet. See, foretold things that happened exactly the way it was. And they know that was God's identification of a prophet. That's his identification of every believer. It's the same life. It's the same life. And they know that it was God's, that he was God's prophet. You couldn't shake them from that at all. Even they've seen Peter foretold those things that come to pass. See? They said, just let his shadow pass over me. Amen. That's the church. That's the ones that believe it, see? Yes, sir. It was revealed. See? It was revealed by the Spirit. And what did Paul say? Because I got a PH, an LLD, and so forth, they believe me? No. He said, I forgot all of those things. And Paul said, he made an effort to forget those things. He put forth effort to leave his thinking out of it, to put his mind out of it, to put his intellect out of it. See? Had to die, and I know him in the power of his resurrection. That's what I come to you with, a demonstration of God's power. What was it? Making Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same works that Jesus did. Paul did the same thing, see? And they seen God. And the great Father that had demonstrated in the burning bush had demonstrated it to Paul. And here it was being demonstrated. Huh? Was it demonstrated in this day?
Amen.
Oh, yes, it was. And he's the same in every age. There's where he says it. God's threefold manner.
Amen.
Yesterday, today, and forever. What? Redeemer in his church. Preeminences in the coming kingdom. Amen. You see it? Just as perfect as it can be. That's right. That's right. Praise be to God. Oh, notice now, the Holy Ghost is the only revealer of the divine revelation of Christ. Huh? Who is the only one? The Holy Ghost. There's no school that can do it. There's no scholar that can do it. There's no man. How well educated, how godly, anything else, there's no man that can do it. I could sting hard here. How many is Christians? Born again, raise your hands. Filled with the Holy Ghost, right? Huh? Here we go. He will only do it to the predestinated.
Amen.
Huh? That's exactly. All the Father has given me will come. And no man can come except the Father has give him to me first.
Amen.
I love it. I love it.
Right.
Look at them priests saying, this man's Beelzebub. He's a fortune teller. He's a devil. And that little woman walking along there with six husbands, she was living with five and had the sixth one. Then Jesus said, go get your husband. Come here. She said, I have no husband. He said, yes, you've got six. You've had five, and the one you're living with now is not your husband. She said, sir, what? That light struck the seed.
That's right.
Just think back when that light struck for you.
Yes, sir.
I remember it. I remember when that light struck. And I said, this is the same thing. I heard a preacher talking about the life of God in a man in this day. And I said, that's the Bible. And what I realized I was saying was that that's the living Bible. That's the Bible living right out in this hour. And every church I had been to, I hadn't seen it. I didn't see it. I seen hypocrisy. I seen lies. I seen theology. I seen ideas. And I hadn't. Don't let me make it sound like I went to a bunch, because I hadn't. I went to a few. But what I seen. So, see, she said, sir, that light struck the seed. When it struck them priests, they said, this man's a fortune teller, see? No life in there. A hybrid. To come up as far as organization, but died from there on. That's right. This woman was not a hybrid. She said, sir, I perceive. Listen to this prophet. It's like you can just see her. I can see those big, pretty eyes shine like that. Tears running down her cheeks. Said, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet.
Amen.
And listen to this. He says this many ways. Many times she said, and the Bible says, we know that when Messiah comes. But watch him make this personal. And this is what it has to be. She says, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. And I'm looking for a Messiah.
Amen.
In all of her sin, in all those husbands.
Amen.
Huh? There was something down in there that was looking for that Messiah. That flesh was going in chaos, but that seed down there was looking for that Messiah.
Right.
See, and when that Messiah comes, He'll do this very thing.
Amen.
See? He'll tell us these things. Praise God. Why? He's the teacher. See? He said, I am He. Oh, Lord, she left her pot. Here He is. Come see a man that has who has told me the things. What is it? The light struck the seed.
Amen.
That life was there and it come forth. Same thing today. Praise be to God.
Amen.
Praise God. That's right. Oh my. So just I want to read just a few more paragraphs here before we close. We're not even halfway on the quotes, but a lot of that is about four more chapters or five chapters there. If you want to read them later, I made it convenient for you. But let's just look at a couple more quotes here. This is paragraph 332. The Holy Ghost alone. Now, I think that He has made it clear from all of the quotes that we've read that it is the Holy Ghost alone.
Amen.
That there is no man and there's no school and there's no teacher. There's nobody out there. Nobody can do this but Him. The Holy Ghost alone is the divine revealer, is the revealer of the divine revelation of Christ and has been in all ages. Remember, all ages. Who did the word of the Lord come to? The prophet alone. That's right. Is that right? The prophet had to be vindicated first. Not because he said he was a prophet, because he was born a prophet. Proved to be a prophet. Everything he said was exactly on the word and come to pass. Then everything else let go. See, it was the word of the Lord came only by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That's all. That's all today. And that's why it's so important that Brother Branham brought in the token message. This is that day.
Amen.
He said, whatever it was in other days, he said, that's done. He said, today, the time has come, you must have the token. You must have the Spirit of God. You must have it. He said, people evade the new birth. They can sit here and say, oh yeah, I believe the prophet. I believe the message. I believe those things. And he said, but they sidestep the new birth. You can't sidestep it today. It must be. It must be. 100%. It's got to be. See, it was. The word of the Lord came only by the Holy Ghost. The Bible said the men of old were moved by the Holy Ghost. See, wrote the word. That's right. Look at John the Baptist. Huh? How did he know who Christ was? Huh? How did he know? See, he would have never have known Jesus if it hadn't been for the Holy Ghost pointing him out. That's right. That's right. John the Baptist, the great prophet that come forth, said, there's one standing among you right now. How could he say that? Because he was moved by the Spirit. Huh? How did he recognize him? Because the Spirit. He was moved by the Spirit. See, an ordinary man standing here somewhere, that's the Lamb of God. John said, then I bore record. I bear record. I saw the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, descending from heaven like a dove. And it went upon him. And the voice said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm pleased.
Amen.
What was it? The Holy Ghost said, I'll point him out.
Yep.
The Holy Ghost. See? That's the only way you'll know him today. Is that clear? Has he made it clear over and over?
Amen.
That's the only way you'll know him today. Only way you'll get the threefold revelation of God is for the Holy Ghost. And the only way it can ever be is you're predestinated to see it.
Amen.
Praise be to God. The only way is if you're predestinated to see it. The only way is if the Holy Ghost is there to reveal it to you. And this, sometimes it sounds like we're speaking it as something to happen. It's what's happened to you. It's what's already happened to you. It's what's living in you right now.
Amen.
It's the thing that's moving you right now. It's the reason you're here. It's the reason you believe this message. It's the reason this message is real to you, more real to you than anything else. Of all the things, of all the people that have talked to you about the message and about the Bible and about everything else, it's the reason why you are standing in the revelation the way that you're standing. Yes, it's because the Holy Ghost has done that and is doing that.
Amen.
And He has the preeminence. Yes, He has the control. He has made you a prisoner to Him. See, if you don't, you know, every one of you here know, there's some big churches around here that you could... Maybe I couldn't get no social standing, but maybe you could. I don't know. But I believe if every one of us, we went there and we said we disavowed this and we disagree. We disagree with what they're preaching and everything. I believe they would be just jubilant. I believe they'd be happy and say, praise God, they've been delivered. And they're joining with us now, and now they're in the truth, and now they know what's real. And I believe they'd be happy. But there's something won't let you go.
Amen.
You'd still be in the message. You'd still believe the prophet.
Right.
You'd still read the same books and the same Bible and the same quotes. You'd still have all of that.
Yes, sir.
But there's something inside won't let you let go of the revelation that's living in you. That's what I'm talking about.
Amen.
It's what's living in you that you can't let go of.
Yes.
No. There's no Balaam spirit in there. Amen. To say, well, let's please the king. Let's please the society. Let's please the social standing. Let's please the mind. No.
Amen.
You have a different mind now. You have the mind of Christ.
Yes.
Your mind has no more control. No more control. See, the only way you'll know Him today, the only way you'll get the threefold revelation of God is for the Holy Ghost. And the only way it can ever be is you're predestinated to see it. Praise God. Remember, we read early on, and He's going to bring it around again, talking about this predestination. He said, remember, we was going along, and it sounds like He's going one way, and then He'll stop, and He'll say, there's the mystery. Predestination. Predestination. See, if it don't, you'll never see it. If you're not predestinated to see it, you'll never see it. Because that light can flash and you'll go away and make fun of it and explain it away by some intellectual conception. See, when the very God Himself manifesting Himself, proving it, see, if it ain't upon you to see it, you won't see it.
That's right.
Praise be to God. That's right. See, 336. Now, God never just said, I'll choose this one and choose that one. But He knew by His, what? Foreknowledge. He didn't put it in there, but you know what it is. He said it many times. I started to mention it a minute ago, but I knew He was going to say it. Or He was coming to it. See, the reason He could predestinate. See? Why? Because foreknowledge. Because He's infinite. See, He knows. He's infinite. So therefore, He knowed everything. He knowed the end. And He could tell the end from the beginning. See? He's God. And if He can't do that, He's not God. Yes, sir. He's infinite. All right. So we know the difference between predestination and foreknowledge. And we know they just go together just like that.
Amen. Yes, sir.
It's not like He chose this one and He didn't choose that one. No, there was no choosing. No, He knew.
Right.
What is it? I just want to ask you, because you hear people say it and they make it that He knew as if He knew either who He was going to, who you were going to choose. That's what they make it sound like. That He knew who was going to choose Him and who wasn't. But then He said that you couldn't accept Him unless He draws you, unless He reveals Himself to you.
Yes.
So tell me something. This foreknowledge, what is it that He knew? What is it? He knew that there was nobody going to be in this body except Himself.
That's right.
Nobody. That's what He knew.
Amen.
So it's not like he went out here and he started choosing people. No, he chose himself.
Amen.
He chose himself. That's foreknowledge. He knew everyone who was predestinated because they were in him. It's not like he chose this one and didn't choose that one. He chose himself. It's him. That's what this body is. That's what this revelation is. It's himself.
Amen.
It's just himself.
Yes, sir.
And so if anybody comes along and they want to make free moral agency that you chose, that by his foreknowledge, he knew who you was going to choose. Well, he did. He did know because you were in him.
Amen.
You were predestinated in him. There's nothing, there's no eternal life outside of him. That in itself is so big. And that right there goes right back to what he said when he was talking about, are the thoughts of God eternal? He said, if you can see this, you will see many things. So that's predestination right there. Because those thoughts are himself. Those thoughts are himself manifesting what he had in his mind.
Amen.
Brother Branham said, it's just a great drama that's playing out. And you're just playing out a part of his body. He's moving you. And just whatever he wants you to do, David said, if I'm a doormat at the house of the Lord, let me be the doormat. Let me be that. I'm happy with that. That's right. 337. So we're fixing to close now. John would have never known him, no sir, had the Holy Ghost not pointed him out. See how God hides his mystery to the high educated and everything? Look, every one of them people, and simplicity reveals it to whom he has predestinated to see it. See? Look here. Others standing by never seen it, right? Never even seen the dove. They never heard the voice. It was only sent to that predestinated seed.
Amen.
So tell me something. How is your free moral agency going to make you accept something you can't see and something you can't hear?
Amen.
Huh? You see the razor edge? It's what Paul said in the beginning. It's spoken in a mystery and it's revealed to you.
Amen.
It's spoken in a mystery and it's revealed to you. The carnal mind, the natural mind, the intellectual mind will knuckle down on a quote and take it literally. And then they have to push other quotes around, either hide them,
yeah,
you know, ignore them, or say they belong somewhere else in another age, or do something with them. But it don't work. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
This predestination, that's what he's talking about. This is the revelation. This is the mystery. Predestination. It's the mystery. And so Brother Branham tied predestination to foreknowledge. And he said, it's not that he chose this one and that one, but that he knew. And what he knew was, it was only himself. There's only one eternal life. There's only one eternal life.
Amen.
It's all him. And that's what he told us already, that that's what the bride is. She is the manifestation of him on the earth. So he didn't. What's he choosing?
Right.
Why are you saying that you believe it? Because it's him. Because it's him. He can only agree with himself. Look here. Others standing by, they never even seen the dove. They never heard the voice. It was only sent to the predestinated seed. Predestinated, certainly, was predestinated. Why? Isaiah, 712 years before he was born, in the spirit, raised up out of these human senses and said, there's a voice of one crying in the wilderness. Huh? Prepare the way of the Lord and make his path straight. Is that right?
Amen.
Speaking of John the Baptist, how did Isaiah know way back there that John was going to choose to believe the message? How did he know? Then if Isaiah could see it, and couldn't Malachi see the same thing for a predestinated last prophet, the sealing of all the prophets of the Old Testament? See that great prophet standing there at the end of the age? Glory. See? He's saying it's predestinated. Certainly was. Malachi saw him too. Amen. Just like John did, just like Isaiah did, just like Moses did, just like Abraham did, like every one of them did, they recognized it was the Spirit of God in them identifying, speaking the thoughts of God, that God was going to manifest in their day or in the ages to come.
Right.
Praise be to God, and you are those thoughts made manifest. That's right. Praise be to God. Let us stand together. We just thank God for this great hour, this great privilege that we have to be in this day. And no doubt it would be, as Brother Ram said, it would have been great to live in Jesus' day. It would have been great to live in Abraham's day or any other day. But this is the greatest day, and we know it, and we're blessed to be partakers of this. We know this is the most deceiving age. We know Brother Branham said this is a nervous age. This is a time it's a spiritual time. It's when things are spiritually happening. And that's why when you have the Spirit of God, then you have discernment of the Spirit. You discern spirits. You discern the hour. You discern the day. You discern the time. You discern the revelation, and that, you know, people can look at you sometime and think, oh, they're just a simple little nobody. You're one of God's nobodies.
Amen.
You're one of God's, and He's the one who's doing it, and that's it. That's what it's all about. They couldn't see it, and Balaam couldn't see it in the children of Israel, but Brother Branham said the difference was that pillar of fire. He said, it was God in the camp.
Amen.
Amen. Praise be to God. Let us bow our heads as we dismiss. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for this great revelation. We thank you for the teacher living in us. Lord, revealing, making known. Lord, that discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Lord, living in the body, living in the bride in this last day. We thank you, Lord, that we were in your thoughts, Lord, just to manifest. Lord, we just ask you to bless each one. Those that are here, those that are not, Lord, may you just let this revelation, Lord, comfort their hearts. And Lord, to encourage them, knowing that you're the master, Lord, that you're the one that predestinated them and brought them into your presence in this day. And Lord, now we're at that time of year, Thanksgiving, Lord, for this country. Lord, not other countries, Lord, but in this country. Lord, we think back what it was hundreds of years ago. Lord, when people, they came to a place for religious freedom. They come to get away from denomination. They come, Lord, to get away from those things. And now Satan has infiltrated, and they've come right back to that same thing they ran from. But Lord, you have delivered your bride. Lord, you've given us something to be thankful for. Lord, not this nation that's corrupt, not the government that's corrupt, not the churches that are corrupt. But Lord, for your Spirit, and Lord, for that predestination, for this revelation, Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, may you bless each one now. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.